Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Last Sunday show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Three speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Alfred Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Obviously, I was... never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Well, if this is it, old boy, I hope you don't mind if I go out speaking to kings.
I sound posh, but I'm not posh.
Are you taking the piss?
Do yourself a fucking favour, mate, because this is your last chance for a fucking peaceful night.
Recording live from London.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, London.
That's Ashley.
Fucking cunt.
And this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Yeah, it's usually Destructoid with Jim Sterling. He's a cunt. Sorry, I'm getting fucking tongue-tied, mate. Throat's dries are none's nasty. But today they publish an article saying they sold 24 million fucking units of useless piece of shit called the Kinect, and they're saying it's slow going. Fuck off. Basically, it's because these arseholes are putting out shit, basically. About the Wii U, people talk about that being a next generation console, it is not. Wii U sales, not bad, says Nintendo president. It's also sold at a loss, with bollocks, for Nintendo, albeit a slight, relatively slight one. What a load of crap. Don't believe that for a fucking second, you lying bastards. Iwata is so full of shit. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a loyal motherfucker. He really is.
I never leave you locked alert with anything.
All of a sudden I can't fucking have a... All of a sudden I can't once in a while just have a pleasant chat conversation with radio sensation Ashley Fuller. Can't even fucking get him to respond to you anymore. I love to talk, mate, but I'm just prepping for my show. How many times can you go to IGN in a day?
We had the VGAs the other day, which trust, I couldn't give three fucks about, but I'll go into that in a second. Despite enough warning signs about server demand during the frenzy hype, Blizzard did not expect... Jesus Christ, I wish this fucking cunt would... actually proofread this shit. I mean, I'm the one who's got to read this fucking crap. I've killed a bunch of people in the game. I want to do it in real life. No one says that. No one thinks that at all. And I say people who do think that that is the least of violence are basically politicians who have no fucking clue anyway, who've never played a game and who probably think the latest game now is Pac-Man or something stupid like that. I mean, to be honest, if they stop making violent games, we might as well just play in fucking Barbie Horse Adventures.
Halo, well, does Halo have a story?
Hopefully the acquisition means only good things for IGN, its staff, and its post-News Corp iteration. But I hope it means they all fucking die. Says THQ former CEO Brian Farrell, has been my pleasure to work alongside this group of people. No, you haven't. You sat in an office and fuck all day, you lying bastard. Basically pulls the pants down of every fucking gamer, and literally they just sort of fisses up the arse. But yeah, so yeah, welcome to the show.
And good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay, having a good Tuesday, wherever you are listening to this. This is Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Should be a quiety show this week. I've played a few things, you know, some stuff to talk about, some interesting stuff in the news. It's quite a mellow, mild week, to be honest, with stuff going on. I mean, there's news coming out today, you know, the Grand Theft Auto Online, it's broken and buggy, and, you know, I did try it before the show started. I was messing around with the character creation screen. That's a bit weird. I'll go into it in a sec. Well, so I'll get all the usual stuff out of the way. So, where is it? There we are. So you can email the show, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk, facebook.com/group/MNRGamerLobby, which is the group for the show and Leak Speakers. Also, like the Facebook page, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And as usual, you can follow us on Twitter, @MLRGamerRadio. Usual start off what we've been playing. I'm on my second playthrough of Grand Theft Auto. I'm literally sort of just skipping the cutscenes and just sort of doing the missions. I'm enjoying my second playthrough. I got talked about on Gentleman Show, which is another great show on More Like Radio, which you should all be listening to. I'm enjoying it. I did the first thing I did when I got to play as Michael, I jumped and stole a jet, which was a lot quicker than the jumbo jet. One of those private things. I stole one of them. It was really quick. And I just went over the whole map and sort of, I think I got the achievement for clearing the map. So, you know, I can see everything now. It makes it so much easier to play, which, to be honest, I don't see the point in why you would do something like that, like fog the map up so you couldn't see, considering that we actually get a paper map when we buy the game. So it's like, well, shit, we just go up this road and we go that road. And then, you know, it seems kind of pointless to me, but you get an achievement out of it. So fuck, I don't know. It's like 30 gamer score. It's probably like a silver achievement, silver trophy or something. Say the online mode, I gave it a quick 30 seconds, trying to work out stuff. It's very weird. I mean, you go, your character question is like, asks you about, your grandparents, what they looked like, how they may relate to two sets of grandparents, how they relate to your mother and father, and then basically how you were spawned. And it's like, why do we need this? Just give me a fucking, how hard is it to make a customer create, you know, just give me the hair, just give me, you know, let me choose the face. That's all you need to do. You don't need to know his grandparents and that. Because, I mean, to be honest, the characters look shit, to be honest, from what they, you know, the grandparents and the parents and that. Like, just let me choose the character I want to be. I don't need to see all this, you know, the distant relations and stuff. And then they go into other bits and pieces. And I need a tutorial. I need to watch something because I really have no idea what I'm doing in that customer creation screen. I mean, the online's broken at the moment. So I'll give it a go when it's fixed. I'm not fussed at the moment. I'm still enjoying playing through the main game again, more than I am. I mean, you know, last year I've said this several times again, Far Cry 3, game of the year last year for me. And I still haven't even touched the online for it. If there's anyone there, that is, Call of Duty and Battlefield 4 coming out soon. I gave it a look in before the show. I'll wait till it's fixed and whatever. I'm not really too fussed. I mean, my main interest is the main story, the main game, because I want to make money in there and do stuff in there. And, you know, it'd be alright to hang around with mates, but, you know, in the game, but, I'm in no rush. I mean, to be honest, I mean, everyone's saying they should have delayed the game, until it was fixed and, you know, until it was, ready for shipping. So that's pretty much that for the Grand Theft. I picked this up because I had it a while ago, but it seems that they've overhauled it and it works. And, I downloaded, Real Steel on there for my iPod Touch. It's a tie-in game to the movie, which is also really good. But yeah, that's really, and it feels weird to play something on an iPod that doesn't crash after like 2 seconds. I mean, there's sometimes when I'm like, you know, it's loading and the screen goes black and I'm thinking, is this going to fail on me? You know, is it going to just sort of, you know, stop working? But no, it carried on. There's like, 3 different tiers of fighters and there's like 5 fights in each. And then you can choose between, I think it's like, choose one of 7, sort of starter robots. And there's a lot of, monetization, like you can buy different robots and open up different parts. I mean, I haven't gone too far into it because I did, you just played it on my breaks at work and it's really, really fun. I did, you know, I've gone through all 3 tiers. I mean, each tier has 3 difficulties. They have the, you know, easy, medium and hard. I've beaten all the easy tiers. I tried the medium. Even that's hard. But I'll play for it a bit. I mean, it's literally a sort of game to play when I'm not doing anything important. I'll just sort of sit down and play it for a little bit. But it is really good, and they've got all the bots from the movies. It's really good. The graphics are great. Some of the audio's there from the movie as well, so that helps. And you know, the locations, and it's a really good tying game. I'm a big fan of Real Steel. It was a great film. I mean, I did buy the soundtrack for it the other day as well. So, you know, seen the movie, got the soundtrack. Now I've got the tie-in game. It's really, really good. But I mean, this sort of game does make me wonder why we don't have more of this sort of thing on the consoles at the moment. It does seem like a sort of PlayStation 2 type game where, you know, they throw anything against the wall and make it stick. And this is a really good game. I've had a lot of fun with it. Also, just have a look here. I started playing Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time on my 3DS again. I started playing that today because literally I got stuck. After the second Spirit Stone, I had to get the Death Mountain, and I'm playing it again. I've got the second stone. I'm just onto the third area now, the water place. Yeah, it's really good. I'm having a lot of fun with it, trying to finish it. Because I mean, when I had this on my N64, I never finished it. I got stuck, and this, you know, when it was out, there was. The internet wasn't what it is today, so now I'm stuck because I can't remember what I did. So I'm sort of trying to recollect memories from over like 10 years ago of how I got past certain things, and you know, I just want to get through it and finish it and, you know, finally be done with it, to be honest. But yeah, I say it's a lot of fun. It's Zelda. I've played a few Zelda games and this is one of my favorites. It is a really, really good game. The story's really good and I can't wait. I mean, I only got like, just over halfway through the game, so what more I've got to see, I can't wait to find out. You know, it's going to be good. What else have I been playing? Pokemon, yes. I got my shiny Charmander, finally. I'm very happy. I got it the other day, fucking over the moon. Worth putting all those bloody hours into it. I think hatched on Monday, so I was like, okay, this is fun. What do I do with it? I had no clue. I checked the stats, really good stats. It came up to, I think it was relatively superior, which is like sort of one below the outstanding. Yeah, because it's outstanding. When you go and see this judge guy, it's one of the cities. He says, you know, he rates your Pokemon. And he said it was relatively superior, which is just, it's like second out of the IV stats and stuff, and then I got some pretty good special attack, and and the nature was okay. It wasn't what I hoped for, but it was good. So I went to some people I know and sort of asked them. They said, we'll do this and that. So I was like, okay. So I EV trained it. It's all EV trained what I needed to, and I fully evolved it, and now it's a nice black Charizard ready for transfer over to my copy of Y when a you know, I get it, and well, like Christmas time, we'll say, when they give us the app that lets us transfer all the Pokemon that we have to X and Y. But yeah, I say I am really happy that I got it, and you know, something I've wanted for a while, seeing that it's a little thing, but it did take a lot of time. I mean, I do feel, you know, better about it now, but I mean, I'm all ready for X and Y. It comes out a week on Saturday, and you know, I need some more Pokemon stuff. I want to get ready. I'm sort of pumped now. I'm ready for the VGCs next year. I mean, we'll talk about Pokemon now. It does lead into the main thing I'm going to talk about this week, which is about the Eurogamer Expo, which happened over the weekend, and, well, Thursday and Friday, and the Saturday and Sunday. I went on the Friday. It was a packed house. I got there, was it 2 o'clock, roughly 2 o'clock in the afternoon? I got the late ticket, which was pretty good, to be honest. I mean, it was quite a cheap ticket. I literally just sort of, the queue when I got off the train, just walked out across the street to the Old Court Arena. And, everyone, the queue of the 2 o'clock entry was already starting to move in. So basically, we all just jumped on the back of the queue and walked straight in with everyone else. Hand over our tickets. They gave us some sort of strap thing we put on our wrist, and just went in. I mean, it was well organized. Well, there was a lot to see. All the booths looked pretty good. I mean, organized was okay, but I mean, there was things going on for the queues to line up with people. There was no, they said, queue start hit, and it wasn't exactly. I mean, it was about, the signs for it were about 3 or 4 feet off the ground. Now, I mean, most of the people, it was a school day, so there was mostly adults there, a couple of school kids running around, that sort of thing. But, I mean, it would have been nice to have, like, higher signs. I mean, I'm a big guy myself, It would be nice to have, like, higher signs saying, this is where the queue starts. A better sort of roped-off area would have been nice. And actually, on the sign saying what this queue was for, because, I mean, I got into a queue with a bunch of other people. We had no clue. This was, I queued up for the Pokemon, the X and Y demo. I was there for like an hour and a half just queuing up for this bloody thing. But we had like no idea. And then we sort of saw, this is the queue for Pokemon. So we were in the right queue. Some people in front of me, they ditched about 40 minutes in. And I carried on waiting. It was ages in this queue. And it was weird. I mean, I know as every week I seem to slag off Nintendo, and from considering what they're putting out, I have all the right to. But I mean, there was literally, I was queuing up for, there was like 4 3DSs playing Pokemon, and there was 2 other booths set up the same way. So basically looking at about, 12 3DSs, in a Nintendo's little area they had. I mean, it was really weird. It was like how small the packed-in area they had. I mean, there was a bunch of, like, Wii U's over the other side, and there was, like, was it Donkey Kong, and I think that the Wonderful 101 was being played, and I was like, I'm not that fussed, to be honest, about that sort of stuff. I mean, but I'll skip to the end slightly. When I'd finished playing the demo, I'll talk about how the demo was in a second, but how, like, when I finished, they was, like, giving off these swag tickets. And they said, well, yeah, you queue up in this line, we'll stamp your card. And now if you queue up in the Wii U line to play something on the Wii U, we'll stamp your card again. And then they take you over to this wheel and you spin it. And then if you win whatever swag that they say you could get. And it's like, well, I don't know. I was like, when I was playing and queuing up, it was like seeing what people was going on. I was like, okay, I've been queued up this line for an hour and a half. I'm not going to get into another queue for another hour and a half. Just to push some wheel, and I was like, no, fuck it. I mean, because that was the honest, the Pokemon X and Y demo was the only thing I played that day. Everything else was like second fiddle, to be honest, because after stuff they were showing, it's like, I know I'm going to buy that, so there's no point me, wanting to play it. I mean, they had, what did they have? They had the Batman there, the new Batman game. What else did they have? Shit, they had, there was like Elder Scrolls Online was there. I'm not even sure if I'll bother getting into that. Playing it when it comes, buying it when it comes out. But that did look really good. They had like Sims 4, that looked really sweet as well. Most of the stuff was like there was on keyboards and stuff, and I'm like, I'm not exactly allergic to keyboard gaming, but it's not exactly my forte. What else do they have? They had the Lego Marvel Super Heroes, which I'm getting, so there's no need for me to play that. There was supposed to be some over 18 area where they were playing like Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed. I had no fucking clue where that was. I've taken pictures of like the big boards that said over 18 area, but it's like, well, shit, there's nothing here showing where it's supposed to be being played. But I know I'm buying Watch Dogs, and I know I'm buying Assassin's Creed. I saw this Pirates Heist trailer today, which looks really good. What else? Other stuff. There was a load of indie stuff. I didn't try and really get to hand out any business cards, to be honest, because it was weird. It was like, it was a public event, but there was no real interaction as such. It's literally, you got in a queue, you queued up, you played, and you just fucked off. There was, I mean, the indie stuff looked pretty fun. Everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves. You know, that's, I'll credit for that, but everyone was enjoying themselves. They were playing, they were testing, they were watching stuff. It was, I don't think the actual excitement was there that we were supposed to get from these things. I mean, being over here in the UK, and we get very few actual gaming events, to be honest. I mean, in America you get all the the Comic Cons for every single state, it seems, whereas we get, I don't know, two. We get, I think there's a movie thing happening this weekend somewhere at Olympia in London, which is basically sort of just down the road from Earl's Court, which the guest lineup is a joke, so I'm not going to go to that. But yeah, we've got some Comic Cons and stuff like that over here, but none of it is. It feels not exactly half-assed, but very like, okay, yeah, whatever. That sort of mentality, that there's no real people giving a shit, which is, what I got from the event. It's like, well, we're being shown shit that we know is coming out, that we know we're buying. So it's like, well, yeah, this is my main problem with the expos. It's like, well, you're going to show us this stuff, but it's so late in the year that Pokemon X and Y demo, I queue up an hour and a half to play it for about 5 minutes, and the game's out in less than 2 weeks. And, you could have just put the demo out onto the Nintendo shop. And that's the thing, half this stuff that were there, all these demos, just fucking, just put a demo up on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network or the Nintendo shop. Just, so much easier to do than, just anything else, really. I know for developers probably shouting at me saying, well, it takes time to make demos. I know that. But you're making demos for all these expos. Just stick it up on Xbox Live. Then there's no need for all these expos. That's my thing. That's what I say. It's like, we should probably have like dedicated conferences for all systems. Like Nintendo has a conference, a convention. Microsoft has one and Sony has one. It'd be so much simpler. A room with about, 400 3DSs, all with the Pokemon X and Y demo, those lines would have gone cut down very hard. And to be honest, a Nintendo conference isn't a hard thing to manage, since basically they've got no games coming out that are really lighting anyone's fuses, or anything that's worth a note, to be honest. I mean, it was weird. When I was queuing up, they had like a display screen. They were showing off little trailers for stuff that was coming out, and loads of stuff that was out. They were showing off Zelda, The Wind Waker HD, which it's a remake. You've got, was it The Wonderful 101, which is out at the moment. Zelda's come out as well. Animal Crossing, which came out months ago. It was just like gameplay trailers for stuff that's already out. It's like, shit, that's what some of the stuff people were playing. It was like, they had like a section set off for, Injustice, Gods Among Us, the DC fighting game. The game's out. Why do you have a booth for a game that's been out for months? I just don't get it. It's just, the game's out. When a game comes out, you don't need to go to a convention and put a booth up for it. It's pointless. We want to play the games that aren't coming out yet and hopefully aren't coming out for a while. I mean, they did have a booth, like a big set off area for Call of Duty, and there was like a big fucking queue for that went around the whole sort of setup they had for that sort of the area. But I'm like, I've queued up for a Pokemon for an hour and a half. I know what Call of Duty is going to be like. It's going to be exactly like it was last time. I know I'm getting it, so what's the point? At this stage of the year, we should all be set. I mean, I know Stuart is. I mean, we all be set in what we're buying. I know I'm buying Call of Duty. I know I'm buying Battlefield. I'm buying NHL 14 when it goes down in price. I'm buying the Marvel Superheroes Lego game when that comes out. I'm buying this, that, and the other. Show me something. That's the thing. We get second fiddle in this country when it comes to this sort of stuff. We're not being shown stuff we're being shown stuff that we know is out, and you know, it's just one big pain. But I mean, I did enjoy myself vaguely. I mean, I walked around, I took pictures, saw a bunch of stuff. I mean, I was only there for a couple of hours, but I mean, it's as I said, it's I know what I'm buying. There's no need to queue up and play stuff when, you know, we've got stuff to occupy ourselves now. But yeah, I did play get around to playing Pokemon. I only played it for 5 minutes because, you know, it's out less than 2 weeks, so there's no point me, you know, trying to do something amazing on the demo. And basically, I had a whole queue of people behind me. So basically, I sort of had a couple of little fights. I mean, I always started off with I think it was the Y demo, and they gave me, I think everyone had the Y demo. Serena, that was my character. Basically, she had a Fennekin, so that was quite fun to use and see the move and the fights and stuff. I think we fought a Pikachu, which I mean, I would have liked to have heard the Pikachu because they're using the Pikachu noise from the anime. I would have liked to have heard that, but it was just so noisy in this place. I fought the little one on a flower. I can't remember what the fuck its name is. But yeah, I mean, it was a really good demo. I think I fought one of the trainers, Shauna, I think her name was. And then I basically just sort of went. I mean, I thought the whole area where you could fight was actually quite big, but it wasn't. There's like a couple of trainers there. There was some other trainers that you could fight, I think. I barely touched the demo because, I mean, like, shit, it's out in 2 weeks. What's the point? But I did go and see, because to end the demo, you have to go and see the Professor Sycamore, and then he gives you a Mewtwo, and then basically I think I use, what, one move with Mewtwo. Then he Mega Evolved into his Mega Mewtwo Y form. And then basically just beat a big bunch of the professor's Pokemon, and then just demo pretty much ended. But yeah, I mean, the graphics look fun. I can't wait to play it. I'm really stoked for this game. And when we get to have the, our Pokemon transfer over, I'm going to have so much more fun with this. But yeah, I say the only thing that did make me feel a bit weird was the walking, because now it's not, left, right, up, down sort of movement. It's diagonal and, you know, that sort of thing. But it did feel a bit hokey, you know. But I think it's basically just trying to get used to it. I mean, I remember, you know, this is original Grand Theft Auto. I remember trying to control that. I was like, well, it doesn't feel right like it's supposed to. But, I mean, yeah, it looks amazing. The trainer art looks amazing. You know, when I saw Shauna appeared on screen, it does look very anime-like. But it was well animated, and it, you know, it's going to be really, really fun to play when it does come out. I mean, I am super excited. It's one of my big games of this year. I mean, you know, there's more stuff that I want to play this year. I mean, Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs and Destiny. I saw a trailer for that today, and which is in the Facebook group. And I saw a trailer for Assassin's Creed, the Pirates Heist trailer, which as soon as I've done the show, I'm going to chuck in the Facebook group as well, because that was really good. And I've seen The Evil Within. Holy shit, that game looks amazing. That is another one to stick on your radar, people. Yeah, it was like a 12-minute demo, like a walkthrough, like gameplay thing. Oh, I need to find out when that game's out, because it looks amazing. It does. It looks really, really good. It's done by the, I think it's the Resident Evil people. I can't wait. It looks gory and scary and really, really fun. I can't wait to play it. But yeah, I say, pretty much wraps up the expo, I think. I mean, I didn't have as much fun as I want. I mean, I was on my own, so basically it wasn't exactly like I could bounce info off people, or, I mean, I think I could have sort of turned around to people, you know, here's my business card, listen to my show, but I'd probably know the way most Londoners are. You know, they probably would have chucked it on the card, on the floor, or just gave it back to me. But, I mean, I did bring my 3DS with me, which I used. I picked up a lot of street passes with. I chucked my Animal Crossing copy in as well. I did give that a go. I picked up a load of people for the HHA. I think I'm sort of done with Animal Crossing, to be honest. I might just sort of try and sell it, because it's sort of, I'm not really doing anything with it. I mean, I'm playing Zelda now. I'm getting through that. Pokemon's out in a couple of weeks. I'll be literally glued to that for the foreseeable future. I might do. I don't know. But yeah, I did sort of play through that, and when I didn't use the the Street Pass things for Animal Crossing. I used it for the in-game games, the picture one, and the that sort of the dungeon crawly type one that mini game they give you to find items and stuff. That was quite fun. Got a bit further in that. It's fun. So pretty much the expo was good. I was only there for a couple of hours. I think I'm glad I didn't buy an all day ticket or, somebody on, I think Facebook or Twitter messaged me and said, they bought, was it a 4 day pass? And I'm like, shit, if you want to queue up for, 6 hours of the day to play, each game for like 10 minutes, go ahead, be my guest. But I'm sort of glad I didn't actually take the time off or buy an all day ticket because it's really not worth it, to be honest, for what they were showing. And I'm sort of wondering about, I will be going probably next year for the show, but if they have nothing that's worth seeing or me talking about, because literally, it'd be better off if someone else, went to one of the earlier places and talked to me about this sort of stuff. Whereas, as we get the expo so late in the year, there's pretty much no time between when we're playing a demo and when it comes out. But yeah, I did enjoy myself. There were like shops and stuff I could buy things, but I was like, well, fuck it. You probably don't have shirts in my size and there's nothing Pokemon related, so you can go fuck yourself. But hopefully next year, there'll be some more stuff or anything interesting to show us, maybe a Dead Space 4 or whatever we got. It's October now, 1st of October. Christmas will come and go soon enough. And then we'll get all the new stuff for the new year. It was quite entertaining to go and have fun. And, it was good. It was enjoyable for what it was. But, a bit late in the year, to be honest, to be showing us all the stuff we know we're going to buy. But next thing I'll talk about, Mortal Kombat Legacy, the second series of that was put up on YouTube by Machinima the other day. Really good. 10 episodes, roughly is about, each episode's about between 8 and 15 minutes. But saying that though, each episode is like, there's a previous one which lasts about a minute, and like a next time on which lasts about a minute and a half, which is, there's a lot of filler around each episode, which is a bit of a pain because it does cut down on the old, the fighting. But I do have slight problems with this. There's a lot of talky-talky, not much fighty-fighty, but some good stuff. I didn't realise how many episodes they put up, like the whole thing, because I watched about three episodes back-to-back, the first three back-to-back, and then I realised, oh shit, we've got like the whole, all the episodes are rolling up, so, I sort of sat down, got some snacks, and sort of watched all the way through. But yeah, the actors are pretty good. One of them who plays Kenshi, I was like, where do I know that guy from? I was like, oh God, I know his face, I can't picture him. And I looked him up, I was like, oh yeah, he was on Power Rangers, that's where I know him. He was a good actor on Power Rangers, even though it is Power Rangers. They had, characters, all the characters. Liu Kang was played by, if anyone's seen the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, he was the main bad guy, main Japanese bad guy in that. Kung Lao was it, I don't know who played him, but, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but the guy who played Shang Tsung in the original Mortal Kombat movie, he plays Shang Tsung in this, which is fucking awesome. Sir Casper Van Dien is the old school Bug Hunter. He plays Johnny Cage in this, which is really good. I'm a big fan of Casper. People knock him, but I do like his work. I like the Tarzan movie that he did. Sleepy Hollow was pretty good, even though he literally gets his head chopped off. And Big Spender was a good film as well about racehorse. But yeah, he plays Johnny Cage. It's kind of weird, sort of a down on his luck actor, which is basically what Casper is, to be honest. But he was really good in it as Johnny Cage. And, we do get some of the fights. The whole thing starts off, like the first episode is like Liu Kang is in a bar, some sort of karaoke bar, and then he starts a fight when they're playing this song, and the next episode is like a flashback to when he was, happier and in a relationship and going to get married. And then, third episode is they're all over on this island for the tournament, And then basically it starts to get interesting for me, because it then goes on about Kenshi, about, you know, trying to find this sword. And the way it all goes about with Kenshi reminds me of Hiro from Heroes, like looking for this sword and, you know, this sort of magic sword. And basically you got Kenshi fights Ermac in sort of, was it 1199 AD back in Japan? I think it was in Japan. Basically, like, he's fighting Ermac, and then basically loses his sight, and then basically sort of, comes forward to the next episode where he's fighting Ermac, sort of modern days. I'm not exactly sure about some of the stuff that goes on with the time travel or whatever. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. But yeah, then he fights Ermac. I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but then it sort of, while that's happening, there's like Kitana and Melina are watching, and then Johnny Cage is there, and basically Melina goes after Johnny Cage. He gets stabbed, and then sort of something happens between Kitana and Melina, as, you know, their troubled history is known by all. They fight, and then it's sort of another part goes, episode, I think it's episode 7, yeah, and it starts on about Sub-Zero and Scorpion, and which is weird because that was sort of covered in the first series. But then they go on about, like, Sub-Zero fighting Scorpion, and that's a really good fight, which is basically, you know, anytime we see a fight that's, you know, movie, whatever, between Sub-Zero and Scorpion, it's always really good. But yeah, I mean, and then that pretty much wraps it up. I mean, it's 10 really short episodes. I have no idea when we get in season 3. I hope it's soon, considering, you know, I mean, it's actually done. I mean, it was the film, was it the photography or no, the filming was really good. I mean, it does look proper and professional, which it is, to be honest. But I mean, they have Sub-Zero not in a classic Sub-Zero outfit. He sort of looks like he went to sort of a motocross store and bought a load of pads and stuff, because that's what they sort of armor him up in, sort of. It is basically, you know, sort of a biker vest and, you know, to protect you. And but yeah, I mean, his outfit does look kind of shit, but Scorpion's does look pretty cool. Yeah, it's kind of weird how it's going with who wins and loses in fights, because it's, some of them aren't is how you expect, but some of them are. It's like, well, yeah, it's basically all the deaths end in fatalities, which is pretty cool, because it keeps it close to the show, to the game. But yeah, it's like, well, the first series was about, you know, getting ready for the tournament, but I mean, it was like in 2011 when the first series happened, so it's doesn't exactly feel like, well, I mean, as I say, my thoughts are it's more missing stuff, because we've had this great span of time between what they wanted and what they wanted to do. And, you know, I mean, because I read on the Wikipedia page, they wanted to have Goro in it, but because budget, budget problems wouldn't allow it, so they had to cancel that character. I mean, it's weird considering that we had that the Mortal Kombat, I think it was, 5-10 minute video, and it showed, like, you know, Reptile killed Johnny Cage and was eating his head, and there's like all the different characters they had, and, you know, it's sort of different to what it is now. It's weird to explain, because, I mean, I'm a big fan of Mortal Kombat. It's one of my favourite fighters. I mean, the last Mortal Kombat game was pretty much like the best one I've ever played. But yeah, it sort of seems to miss stuff between, you know, plot stuff between season 1 and 2, because Sonya Blade wasn't in it. I suppose I looked up, Jerry Ryan's not going to be coming back to play Sonya Blade because of, you know, she's got other work. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing these days? You know, Voyager ended years ago. I can't imagine that you're in high demand for your acting skills. But hopefully Michael J. White will come back as Jax. Supposedly Cabal's one of the new characters for season 3. But, I mean, there's got to be other stuff to go on. I mean, I enjoyed it, but they can't. You know, it's all done by Warner Brothers as well, so they need to pump some more money into this, get more episodes up, get the seasons up quicker, actually have a plan. I mean, shit, it's been 2 years since we got season one. You need to sort of come up and hurry up with this sort of stuff, because we could, you know, I want to know more. I want to see more. I want, you know, more fighting, more gore. There's loads of swear. Basically, like, listen to this show. There's loads of swearing. It's really great. It's, I mean, I've put a few of the videos up in the Facebook group, but go on YouTube, look for it. It's there. It's all really good. I mean, to be honest, think about the other stuff. Like, there was no, there was no Cyrax and Sector. They weren't there, even though they were literally in the first series. Some of the characters are there, but different actors, which sort of changes it slightly. But, I mean, they still got the guy who played Scorpion to be, you know, Scorpion in this, which was pretty good. You know, it's really, really good. It's just they've taken so long, it just sort of feels like hollow, to be honest. But, I mean, it is good for what we got. Hopefully Series 3 won't be fucking, you know, 2015, because fuck it, you might as well just stop if you're not going to, you know, do something a bit quicker than this. I mean, this is basically the Mortal Kombat show that we've always wanted. You know, it has the gore, it has the violence. It's pretty good. It's really good. I enjoyed watching it. But, I mean, hopefully, that's what sort of problem with this. There was half the episodes that we did get were like full of flashbacks, and it was like sort of lost. How Lost does it? I was like, well, shit, we don't want this. I want to know in the here and now what's going on. You should have told all the backstories. I think it's probably because it's been like a 2 year gap, which is why we have all the flashbacks. But I'd like to know what's going on in the here and now. I mean, I know most of the characters' backstory anyway. I mean, they started to go on about Melina's history in season one. They sort of brought it up in season two. And I was like, okay, yeah, I know this already. And then they did stuff with Sub-Zero and Scorpion so well, like their fight. And I was like, well, shit, I know this already. And just get on with it. Let me see them beating the shit out of each other. But it was really good. I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan. That's one of my favourite fighting game series. Last week I did ask, your thoughts on how you're enjoying Grand Theft Auto. This was one of the main things I did last week. I need to have a drink. Yeah, so I did ask, how everyone was liking it. I mean, it's been a couple of weeks now. And I think I've had only the one reply this week. I think, everyone's too busy playing it. But yeah, little Matt, he replied and, told me what he thought. Basically says, character-wise, because I asked, all your best bits, characters, favourite moments, that sort of stuff, character-wise, the three main characters have been my favourites in the beginning. He says he was not a fan of Trevor, but as the story progressed, he enjoyed the character more. But that's the thing, I mean, with Trevor, you either don't like him from the beginning and then grow to love him, or you just love him from the beginning and love him more all the way through the game. What else we got? Favourite moments, he says. Trevor's initial view of Los Santos. Oh, yeah, when he's standing up on the cliff looking over at Los Santos. That was really cool. Molly's death and doing the assassination missions. Really good. He says the cars in this game are a massive highlight. Driving around in GTA's favorite cars is the the GTA Veritol is amazing, blah 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 blah. I asked about Easter eggs. I've seen a lot of like Kotaku and I think IGN and I think Games Radar are doing sort of like Easter eggs and stuff, which I'm not too fussed about. And it says, seems that Matt isn't too either. He says, if he stumbles across them, if he likes them, if he finds them, rather. DLC, though, he has the same thought I do. We need some big cash missions. He says, I want to have the monopoly on available sites. The heists aren't big enough, even the final mission. Yeah. I mean, I earned a load of money off the final mission, but it's nowhere near enough to, to cover any damn thing, to be honest. He says, I thought the open world, because I also ask about if we're going to be flooded by open world games. You know, we've got Assassin's Creed, we've got Watch Dogs, that sort of stuff. He says, I think the open world games are different. Those who are, you can really customize, and those that you can't. He says, not that many are of the same class as GTA in regards to customization. Talk about the online stuff. I think in terms of the GTA 5's map, I like that it is as massive as it is. However, I prefer a little more, prefer more little towns as opposed to only Shady Shores and Blaine County, which is quite good. I mean, I think Blaine County is where the hen house place is. That's a nice little town. I mean, there's nothing there apart from the hen house, but it's quite nice to sort of drive around. It's very Silent Hill-ish, to be honest. It's very foggy. There's nothing much going on. There's barely any activity on the streets. It's quiet. I mean, yeah, it's a lovely place I'd like to live, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking about the DLC stuff. I was like, well, I want more big heists. I mean, when the game ends, it's, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it does leave it open for more DLC missions. I mean, I said last week, we could probably get a return of Niko Bellic. You know, there's so much, you can do to carry on with the game. I mean, there's a casino in the game, but there's no actual, you can't go in and, gamble, which I think is a big mistake, to be honest. I mean, you put a casino in the game, but it's not an actual casino to go into. I mean, Test Drive Unlimited 2 had its faults, mainly because it was buggy as hell and deleted people's game saves, which it did mine. But, I mean, the casino bit was totally fun. I had loads of fun just sort of going there, playing a bit of poker, playing the slots. And, that was one of the better parts. It was a really fun game, apart from the buggy shit. But, I mean, they had a working casino, and, GTA should have. I mean, I wouldn't mind if one of the final heist mission felt like the Italian job, the real one, not the Marky Mark version. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice if we did a sort of Ocean's 11, Ocean's 13 style heist on the casino, and to earn some really big money. I mean, I think was at the end of the final, the big heist, we came around with like 200 million. Even once I'd finished with that, I still didn't really have that much money left. But it was a really good really good It would be a really good idea, having some sort of, parts where you can make some really big money. I mean, with my one game save, I've bought most of everything, and there's certain places that I haven't bought, but I've got no money left. I can play the stock market, yeah, that's nice, but, it goes up or down, I lose me money, I'm fucked. Things like the the store robberies, that's chump change. The armored cars, yeah, it's a couple of grand here and there. I can, get a hooker and beat her up and, kill her and get a bit more money from her, but it's still nothing. It's nothing. There's no real big money-making mission, to be honest. Nothing that's compares to buying all the, all the shops and stuff, like, the restaurants and the cinemas and the airport. I mean, the airport's $150 million. I mean, only Trevor can buy it, but how the fuck am I supposed to keep going this for so long? And I mean, yeah, I could probably sit down and just, increase all my stats to do better things. It's just a pain, to be honest. I mean, it would be nice if there was more money that we could be making in this game, but it's a bit, lackluster, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, GTA has its faults, mainly online at the moment, but it's quite funny. I'm just sort of thinking this before the show when people, talk about it, like, online's broken, blah, blah, blah. It's even on the news over here. But it's like, well, people give them this 10 out of 10, 9s, 10s out of 10. It's like, well, shit. No, don't worry about 9s. But 10s out of 10 saying, oh, the game's perfect. Yeah, you can't really give a game a 10 out of 10 and say it's perfect when all we got when it came out was just the story mode. And now that we've got the online mode, it's broken and buggy and people are having problems with it. They can't save their character they created. That's not a 10 out of 10 game. You can only, you can only rate it on a complete version when it comes out. I mean, I'm still going to say if I gave it out a 10, it'd be an 8. Maybe a 7 because of the online's not working properly. But they should have delayed it. I mean, they have deadlines and stuff, trying to get out before Christmas. But the game's made $1 billion, over $1 billion now. Use some of that money, put it into, getting more staff or whatever. Just do something to fix it. I'm not in a hurry. I'm looking at it now. I've got XCOM sitting across the room from me. I haven't really played that much since, GTA came out. I've got plenty of other stuff to play. I've still got Dragon's Dogma. I want to go through Hitman again. Probably not to go through Call of Duty because you'll probably blow up my Xbox. But, there's other stuff coming out soon that will take up my time. And I'll be playing Assassin's Creed till fucking the cows come home. There's so much coming out and so much to play and so much, I've still got Metro Last Light to do a second playthrough on that. All these games I'm thinking about now, and I wouldn't mind playing The Last of Us again. There's just so much stuff that I have to play again, all of them are, Game of the Year considerations as well. I played a whole bunch of stuff this year. It's all really, really good. I think I'm probably going to take a quick break now because I've talked about all the main stuff. But I say next week there's going to be no real main topic. I do have a bunch of articles that I found that I would like to go over, gestate some ideas and just talk about some stuff. But I will post up a topic for a topic, we'll say, in the Facebook group a bit later. Because I sort of run out of main topic ideas. I'm sitting a whole bunch of questions that I can ask, bits and pieces to do with gaming, that sort of stuff. But if there's anything sort of, special that you want me to talk about or look into, I'll go through all the basic, the Facebook stuff, the information, that as well. antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you have any ideas, email me there. facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Get yourself in the group. There's a whole bunch of people in there. Comment on the post on the topic when I post it. You can tweet me at MLR Gamer Radio. Just let me know what you'd like me to talk about for future shows. Anything you really think of. The political upheaval of StarCraft in Korea with the increase of money and anything you can think of, really, because I've got some ideas for certain things. Like there's some questions that are pondering my brain about certain things that would be interesting to sort of, talk about for a good hour. So if you do have any ideas, get in touch, let us know. It's always good to hear your suggestions, read your emails. This is Antisocial Game Radio. I will be back in about 10 minutes, roughly, after these quick messages.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back. MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing.
So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in... And his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard. Kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe!
Well, weird faggots, who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Saying.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live, Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Yeah. Punch AJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold Like This happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only pro wrestling can do that to each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! 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 Not a hug! No!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
Not painful. That. Yes.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
CZW!
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's Tee Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death with a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Put him up back. What are you playing?
It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence.
What? Like it's a knockout.
Did you want something?
No, not really.
Oh, there's a letter here for you. It came yesterday.
It's open.
Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, is that another woman's magazine?
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, wait, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. I mean, not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to the back to the second hour of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Start off with some Nintendo news as usual, since literally there's fuck all of it, to be honest. Lifetime 3DS sales higher than the Wii in Japan. Nintendo's handheld system has sold more units in Japan than the Wii, which, you know, is quite funny, to be honest. Basically, this comes from a according to a recent report, the figures from Japanese sales tracking group Media Create, sorry, trying to say that with a saliva-filled mouth, show that the 3DS, oh, here we go, 12,000, how many is that? Sorry, 12 million. 752,731 units have finally surpassed the Wii's 12,600,098, basically a whole shit ton. It's not bad. It's got over 100,000 more units the 3DS has sold than the Wii. Is that even in Japan? Shit, that's a lot. Jesus. Making it the best-selling platform in Japan right now, which, you know, considering that Pokemon's on its way, wow, that's a lot of units that are going to play of their own copies in X and Y. Much of the handheld success is due to the software lineup. Games Industry International says 12 of the 20 top-selling games in Japan are 3DS titles, with Monster Hunter topping Monster Hunter 4 topping overall sales this week. I should probably get into Monster Hunter, to be honest. The 3DS's main contender for hardware sales this week was the PlayStation 3, while no software for the Wii U has made the top 20 list. Wow, that's quite embarrassing. So basically, the 3DS is selling more than the actual Wii, and nothing from the Wii U is basically made the top 20 list. So pretty much it's all PlayStation titles. That's quite funny. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing these numbers when, Pokemon X and Y come out. Here we go. I saw this before the show. It's quite funny. From Game Informer. Nintendo to cease Wii production in the near future. According to a Japanese website, Nintendo will soon be ending production of its successful Wii console. I see it's weird for me to say Wii because I'm just so tempted to say just Wii U instead of Wii. It's just, I don't know, built into me. CVG reported on a picture that was posted on Nintendo's Japan Nintendo's Japanese website. According to the article, a line in the top right of the picture. Hang on, I'll chuck this in the Facebook group. I'll chuck this in the old chat for people in there to have a look at. Here we go. According to the article, a line in the top right of the picture above of the two Wii units translates to manufacturing is scheduled to end soon. If true, this would mark an end of the line for a console that helped re-establish Nintendo as a major player in the home console market. It has sold over 100 million units since its release in 2006. We've seen reports that it's been outselling Nintendo's Wii U as recently as the past summer. See, that takes the piss. If your old console can outsell your current console, it shouldn't do that. I mean, you know, it didn't for Microsoft, it didn't for Sony. You know, it is quite funny that this is happening. It is quite funny. It just makes me laugh how literally no one wants the Wii U. I'd rather have a Wii than the Wii U, to be honest. That's kind of bullshit what they're saying. It's saying, how the Wii helped re-establish Nintendo as a major player. I want to disagree. I mean, maybe it did, but I just don't feel that way, to be honest. It's an okay system. It's nowhere near where it's supposed to be, how Nintendo's supposed to be thought of. I sort of feel sorry for Nintendo, because the Wii came out, it was, you know, there was no proper control. It was all movement control, nunchucks, and, you know, whatever joystick thing that whatever second controller is. I don't know how to react, to be honest. But damn it, it's Nintendo should be doing better, because like supposedly like the Wii's outselling the Wii U, but the 3DS has beaten the Wii in sales. Considering that, you know, the 3DS came out later than the Wii did, it really just irks me that this is happening with Nintendo. They can't see their faults. It's taken them so long to make an actual HD console. And the thing is, they come out and say, oh, we're not worried about HD, all this sort of bullshit. It's like, well, obviously you need to start focusing on what the rest of the company's doing. I know you're very happy doing your own thing, I say with air quotes, but your own thing is fucking up your country, your company. The Wii U, no one wants that piece of shit. The Wii, well, 100 million units, yeah, that's not bad considering that the 3DS is still out, is, you know, outselling it. I don't get it. I really don't get it. But, you know, whatever. You carry on doing your own thing, Nintendo. And, you know, say hi to Sony, say hi to Sega when you're, doing the rounds for them trying to find, you know, basically just making, games instead of actual, consoles in the future. But, you know, that's the thing. I can see Nintendo doing that. Yeah, let's move over to some PC stuff, because I found some interesting things. I mean, I haven't got this article with me now, but I will definitely have it for next week. They talk about Half-Life 3, that might be happening, which, I mean, I've still got that Half-Life 2, the Orange Box game that I bought for like a couple of quid download, and I still haven't got into that either. But I say PC stuff. Assassin's Creed 4 PC dated. Heist trailer also released. This is the heist trailer that I was talking about earlier. Ubisoft has confirmed Assassin's Creed 4 release date for all platforms in North America. The Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and the Wii U versions of the Seafaring Adventure are scheduled to launch on October 29th. Basically a month from now, pretty much. The PlayStation 4 version will follow in on November 15th. The newly dated PC edition on November 19th. And the Xbox One version on the November 22nd. In the UK, the Xbox and PlayStation 3 versions will hit stores on the 1st of November, but the Wii U edition will no longer make the date. But the Wii U version edition will no longer make the date. It has been delayed by 3 weeks to launch alongside the PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 editions. That's bullshit. Why? I don't get that. I don't get it. The Wii U version in America is coming out on the 29th of October, right? And it's launching a month later on... why would you do that? For the six people that have a Wii over in here, over in the UK, why? The Wii U is not a next-generation console. It's a current-generation console. It's not next gen. It's basically the shit that you had or should have had 7 years ago. But because you're Nintendo, you think you're better than the rest of us. You want to coincide when the launch of the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One come out? Yeah, that's not going to do it, mate. You need to release it when you get a chance, when everyone else is releasing it. Otherwise, you're going to have no sales on the Wii U. I mean, I don't know if this is personal sticking it to from Ubisoft to Nintendo, because it sort of feels like that, to be honest, from what the way I'm reading it. I don't know, it's all bullshit, to be honest. But yeah, the PlayStation versions of Assassin's Creed 4 will feature 1 hour of exclusive gameplay. Talk about the trailer as well. Yeah, so... You know, Assassin's Creed 4 coming out in a month. Enjoy it. So basically, I've got to wait a month now for it comes out, whereas the rest of the world will get it for North America will get it a few days earlier. What else we got? A bunch of PC stuff. Here we go. Yes, this is interesting because I'm looking forward to this game. PC Digital Special Edition of Thief announced. So Thief is one of those games you want on your radar because it's going to be really good when it comes out. Square Enix has revealed the Thief Master Thief Edition, available to pre-order now ahead of the Thief release date of February 25th, 2014 in North America and February 28th in Europe. Digital only PC release will pack in a recently announced pre-order bonus, pre-order bonus mission plus a range of other goodies. The mission in question is bank heist, billed as a homage to the first Citibank and Trust mission in Thief 2. It sees Garrett attempting to infiltrate the city's most secure location, Stone Market First Bank, to steal a coveted family heirloom. It promises to offer exclusive security measures to outsmart, plus unique loot and secrets. The Master Thief Edition will also include an exclusive booster pack of optional in-game power-ups, a digital art book. What the fuck? Just go on screenshots. And a collection of digital comic books. Though it is more difficult than we expected, we came away easily impressed following our first hands-on with Thief at E3 in June. Games Radar are looking forward to this. I'm a bit pissed now because I was like, shit. I mean, I watched the trailer for the bank heist mission they were talking about. It's only coming on PC. Full of a bunch of arseholes. I really wanted to do that mission. Sorry, I'm just reading the chat. James is in there. Hello, mate. Hey everyone, I just managed to tune in. Just about to try GTA Online. Is all working or have you already tried? Yeah, I talked about it earlier, James. I got to the I really can't talk this evening. Nurse, give me my medicine. I tried the character customization. I got that far, but it was really weird because they were talking about like you choose your character looks from like fictional grandparents on one side of the family, fictional grandparents on the other side of the family, and then that affects how your mum and dad look, and that affects how your character looks. That's how it works. It's really weird and stupid. I mean, to be honest, I want to make my character sort of look like me, which doesn't seem like it's going to work, and I wanted to put some glasses on my characters. All they have is fucking sunglasses. Give me some fucking specs. Give it a go, mate. I'll be on again later once I've finished doing this. I don't know. I might give it a try and make a character and just see if it sticks and doesn't, I don't know. See if it doesn't crash or whatever. Whatever problems that people are having with GTA Online at the moment. But I know. Give it a go. See what happens. But, you know, it might work. It might not. What was the other bit of PC news that I had? Hang on one sec. There we go. Aha. Here we go. Valve introduces joystickless Steam controller. Valve is making, this is from Games Radar, but Valve is making a strange new controller for its strange new world of living room gaming. Hang on, I'll post this in the chat because this looks like fucking weird. All right, here we go. That should be it. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, Valve was making a new controller for its strange new world. The company revealed that the last new star in the Steam universe today, a gamepad meant to play any kind of PC game from RTS to first-person shooter in comfort, apparently. On Steam machines and any other Steam-running device, Jesus, things look weird. I'm just looking at this thing now. It's weird. It looks like a speaker system. It basically looks like an Xbox controller. I'm just trying to find mine, but I know it's literally hidden under the floor somewhere. There's three buttons at the bottom. There's no joysticks. There's like a sort of an image screen that has like the Steam logo, and I don't know, like two circular touchpads on it. I think that's the best way I can describe it. It looks really weird. So the Steam controller excused joysticks in favour of two circular clickable trackpads. Oh, there we go, trackpads. Like the rest of the device, they're placed symmetrically and hold much more than meets the eye. God, everyone keeps using Transformers references. Their input resolution approaches that of a mouse, Valve says, and both pads sit atop dual linear actuators, there we are, a new generation of precise force feedback. Rather than simply rumbling a little or a lot, the actuators can deliver force and vibrations of varying frequency, strength, and even direction. Oh, so many dirty images are running through my head. Lust and love, ladies and gentlemen. This gives physical feedback without physical joysticks and offers a new way to deliver feedback about in-game textures and thresholds and speeds. Jesus, this sounds like the advertisements for someone like, you know, woman's favourite dildo or something. I don't know. Between the owl-esque trackpads lies a clickable touchscreen. Oh, it is clickable touchscreen that can be used both to navigate Steam and as a bespoke interface for each individual game. Though Valve remains sceptical of second screen gaming, as the controller's display is overlapped on top of the main monitor when touched. 16 traditional buttons complete the package, with two triggers. Racist. On top, two clickable grips on the backside, and an assortment of face buttons positioned around the trackpads. 16. Hang on one sec. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Yeah. I can see at the bottom of the picture this thing on the back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This might work. The controller's first prototypes will be distributed with the Steam's machines. Beta this year, so follow these instructions. Good on you, Steam, I guess. I mean, if this is what Valve's working on, I don't know, whatever. I'm not too fussed. I mean, I mean, when I went to the Eurogamer Expo, there was always PC stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, that's my kryptonite. I'm not a PC gamer. I wouldn't know what to do with a control pad. I barely know how to run my computer, let alone, let alone anything else. Sorry, I'm just reading. Maybe that's something worth. No, that's my. Sorry, I'm just talking to myself. I've got a load of stuff. I'm just trying to find something that's interesting, to be honest. Here we are. We'll go and do some Xbox stuff, because I missed this last week. Killer Instinct. I don't know if I talked about this. I hope not. Sadira is a brand new character for Killer Instinct. Sadira has been confirmed as the first brand new character for Xbox One's launch game Killer Instinct, boasting Wolverine-style claws which can be used as melee weapons and projectiles. The female fighter was revealed in the new trailer above. You know, I'll try and post this in the group later. The trailer also teases the return of Black Orchid. See, this means literally nothing to me. Because, I mean, I've played Killer Instinct. I played it in the arcade once. So basically, I mean, it's like a lizard character. I don't know. I say, you know, it isn't my thing. I remember going back in the day watching Games Master. I've talked about that show many a time on this show. You know, they had like loads of Killer Instinct fights and, you know, the ultra combos and stuff like that. It's like, okay. And, you know, I know nothing pretty much when it comes to Killer Instinct. But yeah, last month Microsoft announced the pricing structure for Killer Instinct. While the title will be free to download and play with one character, Jago, additional fighters will be available for purchase starting at, Jesus Christ, nearly £4. Saberwolf, Glacius and Thunder have also been confirmed. Players hoping to significantly boost the roster will be able to purchase one or two discounted character packs priced at just under £17, representing roughly a 50% savings. The combo breaker pack will come with the game's first 8 characters, 6 at launch, plus 2 before they officially post-launch release. Meanwhile, the £34 Ultra Edition will include the same characters, fighters, accessory packs. So basically, buy the Ultra Edition, which is basically the whole game, and you get to access all the different characters and, you know, that sort of stuff. What else we got? Let's have a look. Jeez, time's moving really fast. Okay, let's find some more Microsoft stuff. I've got tons of stuff on this. Here we go, yeah. Xbox One, designed for horizontal orientation only. I thought I would never have to talk about this sort of story on this show, but apparently stupid arseholes think that you can put your the Xbox One vertically. No, the consoles are meant to sit horizontally. That's the way they were designed. And if you do that, you're going to fuck up your system. The discs are going to get scratched. And basically, you're going to have the same problem that everyone, every stupid arsehole has tried to do by putting your console on the other way around. Which, it, you know, it's takes a piss considering the fact that when we do get these consoles shown at the expos, half the time they're all standing up, but they're only being done like that so the photographers can get decent pictures. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to get many decent pictures of a thing of it lying on its side. Except when it's a PlayStation, and that usually means that they get someone to pick the bloody thing up and show it to all the people. But yeah, this is from IGN. Although gamers are free to try standing on one side, Xbox One is only designed to be laid flat on its bottom. Microsoft has confirmed. Microsoft's first indication that the system was meant to be laid horizontally earlier this year explained to IGN that the airflow and venting system was optimized for the horizontal orientation. Following up on this, Microsoft's Director of Product Planning for Xbox, Albert Pinello, told GameSpot, we don't support vertical orientation. Do it at your own risk. Expand on this, saying the risk comes not from ventilation, but the disk drive. It wouldn't be a cooling problem. We just didn't design the drives for vertical. Seriously, who puts it vertically? Because it's a slot loading drive, we didn't design it for both. I wonder if that, you know, smash it open and find out what the problems, you know, because people had problems with the original 360, because there wasn't exactly like bumpers on the side to keep it protected. Maybe that's what's happened here. There is one way for Xbox One. This is one way Xbox One differs from 360, which, like the PlayStation 3, could be orientated horizontally or vertically. However, Microsoft figures show that 80% of Xbox One owners use the system horizontally. Yeah, to be honest, though, the 360 wasn't designed for vertical play either. I mean, I'm looking at mine now. If I put that vertically and try to put a disc in, the disc would get chewed up by the lasers and every damn thing in that machine. As if it wasn't making a bad enough noise already. This bloody thing on the computer. Okay, one sec. There we go. No, don't want to read that. There we go. This could be interesting. Hundreds of TV shows, this is from RGN, by the way. Hundreds of TV show ideas being considered by Microsoft. There are hundreds of, okay. While it's been already been discussed publicly that Microsoft plans to pursue original Xbox TV programming, Microsoft corporate VP Phil Spencer offered some sense of the scope of the initiative at this point in an interview with Bloomberg, speaking about the Los Angeles-based production company that it's working on TV's show concept. He said, "They have literally hundreds of ideas that are already incubating right now. We'll have some new announcements for TV shows coming pretty soon." I don't like the sound of this, to be honest. There's the whole thing about trying to make the Xbox the Ultra Box, but, you know, just, I don't, let me, I'm very judgmental about what they want to make, but give me a list of stuff you'd like to do, and then, you know, James from Pokemania, which is on studyboxfm.com on Thursdays. He's got to the character customization screen. I know, mate, I know. I don't get the point of that either. He's just found out about the grandparents and parent selections. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. Because you can't even see how accurate the grandparents thing look. How they look and how, you know, your parents is barely visible, but you just see your character as a main thing. They should just go off that. You know, as I said, that's what I said in the first hour. It's like, how hard is it to do a character customization screen? Just let me have my character have with this hair and that's, you know. I mean, to be honest, you can actually just sort of do that, have you customize your character like that, but it's like, the parent stuff, I mean, I was told from what I've certain places, said, well, you're supposed to be able to pick your characters, like, it's like the son from previous games, or, you know, it's Claude's son, or it's Tommy Vercetti's son, or it's Thingy's daughter, you know, whatever. It's supposed to be like that. That's what I was told, but I don't know. I know it's completely fucked up. But I don't know. I'll probably get into it later and try something, but it's just a big pain. But I'll go back to me at the thing. But yeah, I mean, I'm not interested in Microsoft TV. Just, it's one of those things. It's like, well, shit, they've made a console, and now they need something to justify it. It's like, well, yeah, that's why you have the games on it. It's just one big pain in the ass for this sort of shit, to be honest. Hopefully other people understand what I'm trying to get at. It's like, well, you make a console, right? That's all you need to do. You don't need 6,000 people to make one console. Because basically, once the console's been made, designed, and put out, and, you know, shipped and sold and stuff, it's like, well, now what is there for that 6,000 people to do? And basically, they're all just twiddling their thumbs thinking, well, what the hell do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And now it's, well, we'll make TV programs. And, well, it's got to be gaming-related stuff. I mean, we talked about the Halo TV series that Steven Spielberg's doing, but fuck, I think it's him who's making Jurassic Park 4. Like, we fucking need that. I think he's got that Falling Skies show, which I have no idea if that's still on the air. You know. Here we go. This is something for everyone. Microsoft touring North America and Europe with Xbox One demos. Microsoft is touring North America and Europe to give people an early look at Xbox One. Xbox Live's major douchebag Nelson announced on his blog this weekend that the next-gen console will debut in at 75 cities around the world from now through late November. The area traveling game shows will include playable demos of Crimson Dragon, Dead Rising 3, Forza 5, Killer Instinct, Loco Cycle, and Rise Son of Rome. When I went to the Eurogamer Expo, I couldn't find any of this shit. I was like, looking, and it was like, there were certain areas, it was like, well, are you, cause the thing, that's what I'm saying, none of it was made public. There was tons of queues, but there was no indication of what the hell people were queuing for. Which is, you know, one of the down points. But yeah, they're going like, it's Philadelphia, Paris, and Toronto, and Chicago, and there's basically, whole list of dates that, so don't fret if you can't make it to any of the above dates, as the Xbox One test drive is scheduled to hit 175 locations in North America and Europe with a customizational vehicle packed with demo Xbox One units. Yeah, no doubt these will get robbed as soon as they stop in anywhere around London. Xbox One demos are coming here and there, and I'm not fussed, to be honest. I'm getting one, but eventually, it's not a big thing. I don't really care. Here we go. So, I mean, I'm big into the indie game stuff at the moment, like, you know, what's going on with it. But it says here, this is from Games Radar, indie games unlikely on Xbox One before 2014. Microsoft don't expect the first wave of indie games to launch on Xbox One until 2014. However, to be honest, when it does launch, it probably won't be that good. Whatever does launch probably won't be that good anyway. However, Phil Harrison, a corporate VP, of the firm's interactive entertainment business in Europe, also told Games Industry that Microsoft has had an avalanche of interest from all corners of the globe since it finally outlined its strategy for indie games on the console last month. He says, "I don't think we're going to keep going to see things at launch," Harrison said. "I don't think it's realistic to see a developer get the program and build a game and get it in the market on November 22nd. It's reasonable to expect early 2014 we'll start seeing the first games come through." I'm really interested to see what we do get. I mean, considering that it was a way before, I mean, when they started to introduce all the indie stuff, but, you know, for what we have now for the indie stuff, I mean, it was a while after the Xbox 360 launch. Microsoft independent developers, independent developers at Xbox Program will allow registered studios to use all the Xbox One's features, from cloud service, Kinect, achievements, challenges, and Xbox Live multiplayer to automatic game DVR record video video recording and uploading. Self-publishing program also issues certification and title update fees. Harrison also reiterated that down the line, Microsoft plans to let any Xbox One console serves as a development kit, further opening the market to small studios and hobbyist creators. To be honest, you've got to be pretty good with your techie stuff, considering that how advanced, you know, things are becoming when it comes to stuff like this. You know, I mean, considering that I mean, I'm interested in the indie stuff because all the stuff that's going on about it now, but I wouldn't mind just seeing it die by the wayside. I mean, it's nice that, I mean, the only stuff for the indie stuff is basically could be used as a building block for, you know, people's careers. Yeah. And James is just in chat, update more on the GTA. He says, well, GTA Online isn't working for me. Just throws on a timeout page. yeah, I'd leave the online mode for now and sort of focus on the story. You know, when we're told it's fine and safe and all fixed, then we can go back and play some online stuff. But I'm going to leave it alone now until whenever it's fixed. But, you know, apparently I've just been reading some stuff during the break and they said that, you know, they're working on it. So we'll see how it goes. But they should have delayed the game. It would have pissed people off, but, you know, what can we do? But, yeah, so with the indie stuff for Xbox and PlayStation, you've got to be pretty good with your techie stuff to be able to make games on this quality of consoles. I mean, one of the things that I was going to say when I went to the Eurogamer Expo, I mean, they had some, like, what do you call it? They had, what do you call it? Some, like, big high-end PCs there, like, you know, playing games and stuff. I mean, some of the one section area had, like, Minecraft playing on, like, high-end PCs. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you've got, like, some top-of-the-range computers, and you're playing fucking Minecraft on it. I like Minecraft. It's a fun building game, you know, whatever. But it's not the game you stick, you know, put in a several thousand pound, you know, computer rig to, you know, to play, you know. It's not the sort of thing you'd, you know, the sort of, you know, the online stuff that you need new flash cards and sound, you know, all that, I don't know, PC techno jargon shit. You know, it's not the sort of thing you'd do, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, you know, they talk about indie stuff. Hopefully it becomes something big because I feel like everyone sort of buried it with what we've got. When it comes to stuff like this, you know, Microsoft had their own indie bit and so does Sony. And it's like, no one seems to care because it's, I don't know. It's a really weird thing for me to try and describe. I mean, it's nice. We know the indie stuff's there, but as I said, no one seems to care. So no one bothers. What have we got here? Let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah. Gran Turismo 7. I've got some Sony stuff now. I was sort of trying to wrap up the show with this. Gran Turismo 7 on PlayStation 4. Done in about a year or two, the producer says. Sort of Games Radar. There we go. Yeah. Gran Turismo 6 is coming exclusively to PlayStation 3 on December 6th, weeks after the PlayStation 4 first hit store shelves. But it won't be quickly tuned out for a next-gen re-release. Producer Kazunori Yamauchi told Famitsu via Polygon. Instead, a sequel is in order. The PlayStation 4 game, which will likely call GT7, no shit, will be done in about a year or two. Which is, I think this is too quick. Considering that how long it took to make GTA 5, and now we're getting GT6, come out in a couple of months, and now they're talking about GT7. I think they should hold it. I mean, yes, GT7 is going to be a PlayStation 4 exclusive, but give it some time. I'm really having trouble speaking tonight. Let 6 sink in. There we go. Before you even start doing it, I mean, GT5 didn't go over so well. 6, I have no clue how it's going to be. I think Sony should try and look for something else in the racing thing. I mean, I'm thinking about how good Forza has done for Microsoft, and, you know, sold so many units and done so well. It's not really, you know, Sony, I don't know. Sony's got that Drive Club game, so we'll see how that does, but. Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think Driver Club's going to be better than GT 7 when that does eventually come out anyway. I'll carry on reading this thing. So, you must be forgiven for doubting that the timetable. It would be fastest turnaround since Gran Turismo 3 A-Spec arrived less than 2 years after GT2. Gran Turismo 5 took It seems so appropriate now. 5 years to release, see. And GT6 will have gestated inside Polyphonics manual transmission belly for at least 3 years when it arrives. Which I know it's a good amount of time. It's a good amount of time, but you know. But Yamauchi said the difference between the generations are less significant to the series than this time around. He says so perhaps he'll be able to keep his word. The PlayStation 4's large memory site is a unique trait, he said, but in terms of CPU performance, the PlayStation 3's cell chip, which, while difficult to handle, is really capable, they both have different advantages. Besides, I think the online community aspect of one of the most fun parts of this doesn't make sense, maybe it's bad like translation. So I think the online community aspect, one of the most fun parts of GT, doesn't have anything to do with the platform. Well, no, because it shouldn't. It should be just based on the game itself, not the platform you're playing it on. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of a game. I'm not playing a racing game on a PlayStation or I'm playing a racing game on an Xbox. The whole fun comes from I'm playing a racing game. That's the whole point. That's the thing. You're not here to make consoles. You're here to make games. Yes, they play on the consoles, but you're here to make the game that goes on it, not a console for your game to fit on. I mean, this is probably, you know, I hope this isn't a way that some of exclusive game developers think of themselves, but I don't know. Right, let's go to some other stuff. Let's go to some non-stuff, because not much just Sony. I got this from IGN. It's a very short article. Bungie is welcoming new players with Destiny. A cross-platform game is an ideal way to bring new players to the fold. Destiny, the upcoming always-connected first-person shooter from Bungie, is the Halo developer's first multi-platform title. Instead of being intimidated by this project, Bungie is looking forward to the results. We get to invite people to explore these worlds, the company writes on its website. Our community can invite players who may have never experienced a Bungie game before. Well, you know, considering that all you've really made is that people give a shit about is Halo, then, you know, one Halo game is basically the same as the other. Our community can invite players who may have never experienced a Bungie game before. Developing a cross-platform game is hard, but the perks outweigh the pains. Bungie says that Destiny is about discovery. It says we're crafting a ritual of fun and exploration which you'll figure out for yourselves. I'm really looking forward to this game, to be honest. I can't wait to play it. I mean, I was thinking about just having this on the PlayStation 4 when it comes out, but I'm like, I think I don't know. I might just put it on the normal on the 360 or PlayStation 3 anyway. But you know, I'm not too fussed, to be honest. We'll go into this. I saw this from from Games Radar. Batman Arkham Origins $20 season pass adds missions and costumes. Jeez, there's a lot of stuff in here. Okay, one sec. I'll start from the top. Batman Arkham Origins takes the story of the Dark Knight back to his days. A hot-headed thug, unworthy of the mantle of the world's greatest detective. Arkham Origins Initiation, a set of challenges played by as Bruce Wayne, depicts his final test as a student of the martial arts and is available as part of the game's season pass. Yes, $20, 16 quid pass also includes a new story campaign. Warner Brothers Interactive announced today it's worldwide. If the wide world of alternate universe Batman is one thing, the pass will come with three sets of skins: the New Millennium skins pack, the Infinite Earth skins pack, and the Gaslight Batman and Brightest Day skins. I'll have a look at this. I'm just sort of trying to have a get a decent look. New Millennium skins pack. It's a bunch of different costumes for Batman, and they've got a Robin skin as well. The Infinite Earths one is to do with the sort of Infinite Earth crisis stuff. Gotham by Gaslight skin, that's from the basic the skin of the same name, Gotham by Gaslight, which is a really good book. And The Brightest Day, Batman's skin is basically the sort of a White Lantern Batman costume. But yeah, I say not the big question mark over the all new story stuff, but you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what it is. I mean, I know Stuart's probably buying this edition already. You know, and his season pass, you know, he's all excited. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really, really good. EA Sports won't release a college football game in 2014. That's from Games Radar. So yeah, no college sports football for 2014 for the first time in more than 20 years. EA Sports' Cam Weber, its GM of American football, wrote on the company's news blog, the ongoing litigation and related changes in business relationship led to a decision. We've been stuck in the middle of a dispute between the NCAA and student athletes who seek compensation for playing college football. So if you listen to all the other shows on Warlock Radio, they've been talking about this sort of thing. Weber said, for our part, we are working to settle the lawsuits with the student athletes. Meanwhile, the NCAA and a number of conferences have withdrawn their support of our game. The ongoing legal issues combined with increasing questions surrounding schools and conferences have left us in a difficult position, one that challenges our ability to deliver an authentic sports experience, which is the key, very foundation of EA Sports games. EA previously said that losing the NCAA license would mean would not mean an interruption in the series, only that the next entry would not bear the association's name. Weber said the company will try to retain the developers behind NCAA series by redistributing them throughout EA's sports label. Weber said the decision wouldn't have any effect on EA's ongoing support for NCAA Football 14. But yeah, so and the EA has published a college football title annually since it shipped Bill Walsh College Football for the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis in 93. It picked up the NCAA license starting with NCAA Football 98. It's quite funny what's going on about, you know, all the college players want like money and stuff for playing. I was like, well, shit, you go to college for an education, with, you know, something that's been said before and previous on other shows on More Like Radio. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you go to college for an education, you should be fucking glad. I mean, this football, you know, American football is fuck all to me, but it's the only sport that I know that actually has its own game when it's basically college football. It's like, it's like a shitty version of, you know, it's like all those deer hunting games that we get, Cabela's stuff, that's like, you know, Cabela's mountain hunting or something, you know, that sort of stuff. It's like, yeah, you should be lucky that they're making a game for you. It's like, I mean, there's no other college sports that people actually give a shit about. There's no college basketball game. I mean, over here we don't have a college football game for our, you know, for our football, because, well, there is no really college football, because literally you play for your local league and clubs, and that's how you all get scouted, because it's a different scouting situation. But yeah, you should be glad with what you're getting. Go to college, get an education. So I was reading the chat. James is finally getting into the online for GTA, and then he got kicked out. Yeah, James, just leave it, mate. Just leave it. Just play through the main story, and you know, just keep going through with that. But yeah, so American football's the only sport in they have a college game about it. I don't see the point. I mean, to be honest, if I actually gave a shit about American football, I'd buy Madden. I wouldn't buy this NCAA double crap. Who cares? It's college football. It means nothing. You know, I mean, most sports, to be honest, mean nothing anyway, but it's all bullshit at the end of the day. But yeah, I mean, fuck it. This sort of stuff, it's very stupid. It's very, very, very stupid. Can I try to find something different? Hang on, we've got 10 minutes left. Here we go, yes. talked about this a little while ago. China lifts ban on foreign game consoles. China officially lifted a 13-year ban on foreign consoles console sales today and made plans to align for foreign tech companies to establish streaming and entertainment services in the country. Welcome to the 21st century, China. This is from IGN as well, by the way. Regulations are vague, giving foreign companies few specifics to estimate how much of an impact the new rules will have. The State Council will release more details in the coming months, the Wall Street Journal reports. The State Council did outline, however, that that any companies interested would need to ensure information security, and any violations would need special approval from the from China's cabinet. The State Council did outline, however, that companies interested will need to... Oh, hang on, I've read that bit, sorry. This follows last week's news that Microsoft's already making plans to tap into the new market, investing $237 million in a joint venture with a streaming company, Bez TV. I wonder if that's the one from Happy Mondays. The venture would operate out of Shanghai's free trade zone with the new rules, though. Companies like Microsoft could potentially operate out of China without first joining an existing company. The State Council said that new rules would be implemented over the next 3 years, so there's no solid indicator when consoles could potentially be sold in China. Sorry, just give me one sec. I just saw a typo. I want to see... oh, that's it, really. That's the end of the article. So, you know, good luck, China. Now you've got all this stuff. You can have consoles and everything, and opens up the game market, and now all the companies across the world are going to make more money, and, you know, it's going to be fun for everyone. I don't know. What more can I say? Yeah, Matty's in chat talking about the football stuff. Yeah, he says college football has a subculture. But he says, I can't imagine enough of one to mong games. It's not a big thing. I get into weird conversations with people. I mean, my mate at work, he bought FIFA 13 last year, and now he's buying FIFA 14, mainly because his kids have scratched the disc to buggery. But I don't get why people would buy a brand new game every year. I mean, it's been a few... I think I said this last week. I mean, it's been a few years since I bought a hockey game, but I do want to get NHL 14. I bought the Tiger Woods the Masters when that came out. I'm going to give it a couple more years before I buy another golf game. I have FIFA 13. I haven't played it in months, but I will pick it up occasionally. You know, there's stuff that I will play. I mean, I've got my MLB 2K... 13 or 12, no, 12 I think it is, baseball game as well that I haven't played in ages, but that's still sitting there ready for me to play whenever I want. You know, you only really need one of these sort of games. I mean, if you need something more to play, buy a different game, buy something different to keep you occupied. I don't know, this thing's weird. Okay, let's try something, here we go, nice short topic here, and then I'll sort of close out the show. Amalur Reckoning and other 38 studios properties to be auctioned in November. This is from Games Radar. The rights to Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning and Rise of Nations will go for auction on November 14th and 15th. Games Industry International reports the former properties of 38 Studios and Big Huge Games will be sold off more than a year after the studios went bankrupt, taking millions of dollars in Rhode Island state loan guarantees with it. The rights to Project Cornucopius and an unreleased fantasy MMO in the Amalur universe are up for grabs, along with The Reckoning, the Big Huge Game engine, and 38 Studios' own development platform will also go to the highest bidders. Now, I'll carry on this fun a little bit. Reckoning sold reasonably well, so the pre-built fantasy universe may be attracted to other developers, especially with Copernicus. God, my dyslexia is kicking in. Ample assets still sitting unused. See, this is, it's weird, right? This game did okay from what I heard. People know, well, people said, I've been talking to, said that this game, they liked it, it was fun. But the game's sales were terrible considered how much money was put into this and what was put into the story and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's been all sold off and it's kind of disappointing, but it's quite funny, to be honest. Yeah, Matt is in the chat, says, maybe Nintendo will purchase it to inject a fresh idea. Yeah, don't be silly. I don't think Nintendo haven't had a fresh idea since 1989. But yeah, I mean, you know, if the sale goes well, I mean, you know, you'll hear from me anyway when I tell you about it in about a month and a bit once the sale go through. But yeah, I mean, you know, I can't imagine people buying it. I mean, just shut the fucking stuff down and, you know, the sales weren't well, didn't go well enough and all these debts you're buying and, you know, it's just so much, you know, basically a big giant bad taste in people's mouth. But I say this pretty much wraps up the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. But I say don't forget, you know, coming up later, we've got Unsigned Hype, Alcohol Volume, Dutch and Royce. Also, next week, no real topic, but I've got some articles that I want to go over with you, so have a read of, you know, bits and pieces. Certain developers have said certain things, people have said certain things, you know, I'm interested in having a go. But say, what I do want to know, though, is I need new topics. So, you know, get your thinking caps on and have a think. So you can email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. You email me that, tell me there. Also, you can, on Twitter, @MLRGamerLobby. I should take that one as well. MLRGamerRadio on Twitter. Tweet me your ideas. If you want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Get yourself in there. There's quite a few people in at the moment. And also, like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AntisocialGamerRadio. Nearly up to 70 likes, actually. We've had quite a few over the past couple of days. So, you know, I'm happy. We get even more. What's going on here? Sorry. Max says, Bowser was a daring bet. They still haven't recovered from that debt. Yeah, I know. I can see Nintendo making another Super Mario movie with Bob Hoskins. I think that's as fresh as they're going to get. But yeah, say, you know, any ideas for topics that you've got, let me know. Get involved. You know, I've given you all the details several times during the show. You know, it's up to you to do the interacting. But, yeah, so this has been Antisocial Game Radio. I will see you again next week. Hopefully finish off the more of the news articles that I couldn't get to this week because, you know, I talk and talk and talk and talk and just sort of run out of time. But I'll see you lot again next week. Take care, people.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can fight.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.